The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
It's V Week on ESPN as we continue Jim Balvano's fight against cancer.
Just put up and shut up time for us. And that's just the state that we're in.
To Dalvin, and he is loose! Touchdown! This is Dalvin's first multi-touchdown game of the season.
He fires for the goal line. Touchdown, Najee Harris. And the Steelers have shown some life here.
Throws it.
And it's pulled in for the touchdown by Pat Freiermuth.
There we go.
3 seconds left.
To the end zone, and it's dropped! The Vikings have beaten the Pittsburgh Steelers on the final play of the game.
Welcome to NFL Live, presented by DraftKings. Well, last night really was something, wasn't it? Almost saw the largest regular season comeback in NFL history, but the Steelers still fell short, unfortunately. The Vikings get a crucial win. Glad you're with us on NFL Live today as we get you ready for the rest of Week 14. You see him right there. Marcus, Mina, RC, Phil Yates will be with us as well for the rest of the hour with some news. And so many important games this week. And Mina, what are you looking forward to on Sunday?
Well, I am really excited for San Francisco, Cincinnati. The AFC North is up for grabs, but the Bengals have to win this game to have a shot at taking it. And for me, the biggest mismatch in this entire game is the Bengals wide receiver group versus a very banged up San Francisco 49ers secondary. So I will be looking to see if Joe Burrow, with his injured pinky, can take advantage of that, because the opportunities will be there if he can make those passes.
Well, it's Friday, listen, Josh, and I can Josh go Allen homer, and used... I'm looking at
this. Go ahead, Marcus.
RC. Let me go. It's Rain Dakota Prescott is what I'm looking forward to against this Washington football team. Defense been playing well. Dak and this offense haven't looked like we thought they would look for the major part of this season. Dak gets back on track. That's what I'll have my eyes on.
I don't know why I'm always last on Friday, but since it's my turn, I guess I'll go now. And speaking of being last, that's not where Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills are trying to go. They just lost the head of the AFC East to the New England Patriots, and they're going to look for Stephon Diggs to have a bounce-back game this week. It was too many wins and too much going on, but we know they won't try to run the football against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So can he get open against this secondary that is now suddenly getting healthy for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? He's going to need himself and the rest of those skills players to give Josh Allen a chance to win this game.
All right. Well, we've already gone back to the way that Week 14 started. As you can see on your screen, the Vikings pulled off a win on the edge once again, this time over the Steelers. Minnesota took that 29-0 lead after a Steelers comeback, though. They now have 10 consecutive one-score games this season. Dalvin Cook was a big reason why they were able to get something done last night, and he was really good despite the shoulder injury there. But, you know, when you think about the way that this team, Marcus, has been winning when they have won in the Minnesota Vikings, how would you describe your level of trust in them at this point with how on the edge they've been?
It's like a long-distance relationship, L Boogie.
Oh, boy.
When your girlfriend come in town, it's all love. Y'all are happy. Y'all going to see shows together. You're eating dinner together. You can't wait to just spend some time.
Oh, my gosh.
But as soon as she leaves,
nothing to do for
all you're doing is sitting there thinking, does she really love me? Is it really what I felt this weekend when
so
she was able to visit? Is it true to what it is and what I'm seeing on the weekend as opposed to when she's gone the rest of the week? That's the Minnesota Vikings, y'all. The Minnesota Vikings in the first half was the girlfriend that you think you have. You in love. You love everything about her. She's moving the ball down the field. She's scoring touchdowns.
Woo.
Y'all having a great time. It is just everything.
Player.
You're calling home to your mama saying, I think I'm going to marry this girl. And then the second half happens. When she get back on the plane and go back for a regular work week, you realize She's going to throw a couple interceptions. She's going to give up some touchdowns, like 3 and 5 minutes. She is not going to be who she was when she was in your presence. That's the Minnesota Vikings. They play Jekyll and Hyde. It's a long-distance relationship.
Oh,
all
gosh.
Good when you together. When she gone, y'all don't know if y'all going to make it.
Oh, my
I
gosh.
I think that's a very long way of saying never bet on the Minnesota Vikings. Like, you might as well be lighting your money on fire.
Man,
I'm hearing you correctly.
Yeah, some of the people, there are probably some people watching who are very sensitive to that right now, Mina, but thanks for bringing it up either way. As for the Steelers, another tough loss for them. Mina, what do you make of their performance last night?
Laura, that first half from the Steelers' defense, I think is the worst half of defensive football I have seen from any team this year. And honestly, I was just left with questions. Like, how do you leave a cornerback, various cornerbacks, on an island versus Justin Jefferson when you know he is their lone dominant receiving threat? How do you play more man coverage than you have played the entire season? How do you stack the box against Dalvin Cook and he averages 7 yards a carry? That's just when running into stacked boxes. I don't have answers to any of these questions, which is why I feel so fortunate that my colleague, former Steelers defensive great Ryan Clark, is here to answer the questions for me.
What, RC?
Mina, I have absolutely no answers for you. And that was the most frustrating part about watching the game. Why you can't, like, why, like, so you didn't know that Dalvin Cook was going to get the ball coming off of injury? You didn't understand that with no Adam Thielen that maybe you can double or shade your free safety toward Justin Jefferson because he'd be an early target for Kirk Cousins? You've seen Mike Zimmer coach defense for your entire adult life, and you didn't know that you would get double A-gap blitz looks? It looked like the Pittsburgh Steelers were not prepared for this game. And on the other side of it, where's the physicality? Where's the fight? Where's the want to? I believe it's an issue, and maybe I'm wrong. I believe that Dalvin Cook is a very conditioned athlete. He had to leave after every carry to get a Gatorade break because that's how far he ran every time he touched it. There should be a one-yard run. There should be a run for no yardage. At some point, he should have to walk back to the huddle because it's 2nd and 10, but he was getting touched so far down the field that everything was a sprint for him and he needed a break. Now, the second half they fought, the second half they came back, but this team was unrecognizable for the first half of this game, and this isn't the first time we've seen that this season.
Yeah, Mike Tomlin, of course, very critical of a few individual players and overall the performance of the team. More on Week 14 is coming, but the NFL world is mourning today with terribly sad news. Former Broncos wide receiver Demaryius Thomas was found dead in his home in Roswell, Georgia. Thomas's family believes he died as a result of a seizure and that he'd been dealing with seizure-related issues for the past year. Thomas had officially announced his retirement from the NFL this past June, and perhaps a single play that Thomas will be remembered for came in the AFC wildcard game the following the 2011 season. On the first play of overtime, Thomas caught that pass from Tim Tebow, ran it 80 yards for the game-winning touchdown to beat the Steelers. Tebow reflected on his former teammate today.
We all know how gifted DT was on the football field. But that was not his greatest gift. His greatest gift was the joy that he brought to life. I had the chance to talk with Eric Decker this morning, and we were reminiscing on our great times together with DT. And the one thing we kept coming back to was how when he would walk in a room, he made the room brighter. Mm. He made the room better, not because of what he did on the football field, but because of his smile, because of his kindness, because of his joy for life, because of his love for people. And you know what? I want us to remember him, but I want us to honor him by when we have a chance to go live out our dreams and what we do, to bring that same joy, to bring that same love, to bring that same kindness for people. And that's the way I'm going to remember DT. And that's the way I think so many of his friends and family will remember him as well, as someone that loved people, as someone that brought so much joy, as someone that when they walked in a room, that room got brighter and it got better because of DT. We will love him and miss him dearly.
seeing his smile on the screen, so heartbreaking. He would go on to win a Super Bowl alongside Peyton Manning, part of a stretch where Thomas would be selected to 5 straight Pro Bowls. Thomas finished his career as the Broncos' second all-time leading receiver. Reaction to this horrible news poured in on Twitter in the wake of it. And former Broncos player DeMarcus Ware said he was heartbroken. Another Broncos teammate, Joel Dressen, saying he learned so much from Thomas, calling him funny and smart and awesome to be around. And then there's a story in photos shared by former teammate Tyler Palumbus. DT sat with my son the entire ride home from the Super Bowl, held him on his lap on the bus, as you see there, carried him and hoisted him on fire trucks during the parade and celebrated with him as if he was his own kid. I hope my son remembers 88. Demaryius Thomas was just 33 years old. He would have turned 34 on Christmas Day.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're going to win this game. I'm confident in that. I fully expect to win every game I've ever competed in. That's what sports is all about. They're working hard. We're working hard. But, yeah, we're clearly planning on going to Washington to win the game. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
You got my money's worth today? I mean, goddamn. Chatty Cathy up here. All right. Thank you.
Chatty Cathy Mike McCarthy stole the headlines on Thursday when he guaranteed a Cowboys win on Sunday against Washington. McCarthy back at the mic today and was asked if he wanted to clarify.
Just like comments that are made, context is important. And I think, sometimes that gets lost. But it's irrelevant when anybody thinks about what I said in here yesterday. I was talking about my team. I always coach my own team. So, and that's where I'm at with it. So we have great confidence what we're trying to do. It was an honest answer to a question from a great group of people.
I really wanted him to just be like, yeah, we're going to win. Just total double down on it. Either way, this game is crucial when you look at the NFC East race and, Washington and Dallas squarely in it. They play each other two times in the next 3 weeks. What specific matchup in this game, though, are you most excited to watch?
I'm really excited just as a football fan to see how Dan Quinn, the Cowboys defensive coordinator, uses Micah Parsons in this game.
Yeah.
Parsons, he's almost like a first world problem. He's so good at so many things. Tackling, covering sideline to sideline, rushing the passer. He is already elite.
Right.
That Dan Quinn has to decide, okay, well, which one of those things do I want to take advantage of, especially with DeMarcus Lawrence and Randy Gregory playing in this game. For me, matchup will affect it a lot. Like, we know the Washington football team wants to run the ball. They want to run a lot of short passes, a lot of screens. So in many ways, you do want to use Parsons off the ball where he can impact the play, but you also want to use him situationally as an edge rusher disrupting the quarterback he's so good and he can force Taylor Heineke into some of those interceptions that he's been tempting fate with. So I'm just really, really looking forward to seeing how he's deployed in this game, but also every week.
Yeah, MK, that's a great point. I look at this in the same vein, but I think about him being able to close the door on Taylor Heineke when he moves, right? That's what has been so effective for this quarterback is extending plays, ability to get outside of the pocket by time, and doing a phenomenal job. Been a very opportunistic quarterback. This is where I think Micah Parsons will be as effective, especially on third down. Remember,
You get Randy Gregory back. DeMarcus Lawrence returned last week. So you are good in the rush area off the edges. Allow Micah Parsons to play in the way of a guy that you just tell, hey, man, third down, track the football. Understanding that coverage and all of that is a part of it, but you have an athletic quarterback who's extended plays and really broke the back of teams by doing so. Allow 11 to track him down. There's not many guys in this league that can run Taylor Heinicke down from the linebacker position. 11 is one of them.
Yeah, you know, on the flip side of this, RC, the Washington defense has actually improved since losing Chase Young, and some of those numbers can kind of be shaded however you want to look at it. But how can they wreck this game for Dallas?
It's about creativity. Listen, this offense hasn't been the same since Dak returned from injury. And now you know you have a banged up Tony Pollard. Ezekiel Elliott is dealing with a knee injury. And you have a quarterback that just hasn't looked right. He hasn't looked comfortable. And the creativity, what I mean is the way that they've used these three safeties to create pressure. Now we get fire zone. Now you get full pressure. Now you get zero man pressures. These were things we weren't seeing early on in the season. Jack Del Rio was a little bit lazy. You just heard me and Mark is talk about Dan Quinn and his ability to use a freak. Well, when Jack Del Rio had his freak, the freaks didn't come out at night. The freaks didn't even come out at 1 o'clock. They just like, go rush forward and let's see what we want to do. Now with losing him, he's had to get in his bag a little bit, and we've watched this defense improve. How can he affect what they want to do offensively and how Dak Prescott is comfortable in the pocket?
All right, the moment everyone's been waiting for. Let's see who people are picking in this game. And we're going to throw it up on the screen here. Here's a no surprise that Marks is going with the Cowboys.
Yes.
So are Mina and I. Look, look at you, RC. What's going on with that?
Yes.
Well, you know what, guys? Sometimes you got to rock the boat. And I've just been watching this Washington football team, and teams have momentum, and now teams feel like, you know what? We can play with the Dallas Cowboys. This isn't the first 7 weeks of the season when Marcus was sitting pretty every Tuesday I came in there. Now he's starting to sweat a little bit.
True.
He's having to wear a little anti-shine every Tuesday at 4 o'clock to make sure he can go. So I'm going to go with the Washington football team.
Okay, Marcus was also thanking you.
How did this become about me?
Because it is about you. It's the Cowboys. Either way, Marcus was actually thanking RC because if you're not aware, there's an NFL Live picks curse, and now we didn't all pick the same team, so the Cowboys probably going to win. All right, let's get Field Yates back in
to
get his DraftKings Daily Fantasy lineup. Field, who made your roster this week?
Yeah, Laura, always good to be on the show with you, and my roster has a bunch of familiar names and then a couple of names you may not be talking about quite as much as it pertains to your weekly fantasy lineup. But a guy that you should be thinking about in both daily and weekly is Taysom Hill for the New Orleans Saints, priced at just $5,600. Last week, he played bad. He had 4 interceptions. He completed just 19 of 41 passes, and yet he had 20.7 fantasy points. He does not need to play well to have a bunch of fantasy points because of his legs. I do expect him to play well on Sunday against the Jets. Now, another name that you do know, but just not as much this year, is A.J. Green. If you look at the wide receivers and the cornerbacks in this Monday Night Football matchup, we expect the attention paid by Jalen Ramsey to go to wide receivers other than A.J. Green based off of his alignment of the Cardinals' offense and Ramsey's typical alignment in the Rams' defense. And there's some opportunity here for A.J. Green to have a big game on Monday Night Football. A couple other names, Alvin Kamara officially off the injury report just moments ago for the Saints. He's good to go. He's actually priced incredibly well, just $7,900, a bit of a discount because of the uncertainty surrounding his availability. And here's one for you, Austin Hooper for the Cleveland Browns. No David Njoku this week. No Harrison Bryant this week. Obviously, no more Odell Beckham Jr. in Cleveland. That Baltimore secondary is very, very banged up. If you can find some room for Austin Hooper in your daily fantasy lineup, you might profit nicely, Laura.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's read and react with the latest around the league ahead of Week 14. Cliff Kingsbury on his competition in the Coach of the Year category. Here's what he had to say.
What's it feel like to be in a conversation with Coach of the Year with a guy like Bill Belichick?
I mean, they should just name the award Bill Belichick. And when he retires, like, bring that back. But, yeah, I mean, it's like, until he retires, I don't think anybody else should get that award, honestly. He should be that every single year that he's coaching.
All right, so Mina, Cliff's kind of kissing the ring there. What do you think?
A little bit, yeah. I agree with him. I think Bill Belichick, we sort of treat him like LeBron, where you kind of take his excellence for granted. But if there was ever a year to not take it for granted, it would be this one, because incorporating a ton of free agents into his team, his roster. He's got a rookie quarterback, rookie starters. He's doing a masterful job with this team. It's why the Patriots are in such a great position.
Yeah, maybe GM of the year, too. All right, it's the Cardinals and Rams in a crucial Monday Night Football game right here on ESPN. Matthew Stafford feeling the pressure intensifying as they look toward the postseason.
I think, you know, the later you get into the season, you know, the games, you don't have that many left. You got to go out there and make them count. It's a big game in the division. We know that. It's fun to play on Monday Night Football. It's a big challenge for us being in their stadium. You know, that's a tough place to play. I played there quite a few times when I was in Detroit, so I know it's a tough place to play. So to go along with their team, you know, and the travel, Monday Night, all that kind of stuff, it's going to be a challenge for us, but we're excited about it.
RC, we see Stafford and these Rams get ready to go for another primetime game.
Yeah. Listen, Matthew Stafford needs to be what they thought they were buying when they traded him for Jared Goff. He needs to be the dude that elevates this offense, not the guy that throws pick sixes against Green Bay or against the Tennessee Titans. He has to find a way to make the people around him better, because the Arizona Cardinals stumped a mud hole in the Rams when they played previously. He cannot allow that to happen again.
Yeah, he said mud hole. All right, did you see this? Patrick Mahomes and Eric Bieniemy had a little disagreement on the sideline last week. Mahomes did clear the air on the situation. Today, he said it was a little mix-up of the play that they wanted to call in that situation. Mahomes said they were more frustrated at the game than each other, and Mahomes finished it by saying he talked it over and he and Eric Bieniemy have a lot of love for each other. Either way, it is a little shocking to see that happen, right? I don't want to make too much of it, Marcus, but who is to blame for the Chiefs' offensive struggles this season?
15, because he has to lead these guys on the field. Look, we all know how good Patrick Mahomes is, and obviously there's miscommunication between coaches and quarterbacks a lot. We see guys get frustrated with coaches having to call timeout or not getting the play in correctly. But Patrick Mahomes is the catalyst, all right? If we're going to give him half of $1 billion, we're going to put some blame on him when the team ain't doing what they supposed to be doing. So in this particular situation, I'm going to give it to the Mahomey. I ain't about to badmouth Eric Bieniemy. He ain't threw a damn pass this year.
Okay, I will say this. Mahomes has accepted a lot of that blame and blamed himself. Maybe a silver lining here could be maybe this is a bounce back game for him. In his last six games when playing a team not named the Raiders, he's recorded a 30 QBR and thrown 2 scores and 4 picks. But against the Raiders, 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, leading to an 82 QBR. His completion percentage over expectation also increased by 15 points. And maybe he just needs to play the Raiders. I mean, you see those statistics for Mahomes versus Las Vegas. Should we expect more of the same from Mahomes and the offense this time around?
Laura, yes, I do. A lot has to do with who the Las Vegas Raiders are on defense. You know, Mahomes and the Chiefs offense has struggled all year against those two high looks. The Raiders don't do that. They play cover three in part because they have to on account of their personnel. They don't blitz a lot. And I expect Patrick and this Chiefs offense to have a similar level of success. What I want to see, and if I was a Chiefs fan, what I'd be encouraged to see is something our colleague Dan Orlovsky talked about there being a lack of, which is deep shots in structure. I'm talking about go balls to Mecole Hardman. I'm talking about deep crossers to Tyreek Hill. And I want to see Patrick Mahomes throw an accurate football more than 20 yards down the field, because the opportunity will be there against Las Vegas.
No, Mina's absolutely right. Like, this game is perfectly set up for Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs offense to excel. Gus Bradley is going to line up and do what he does. And now, many people who come from the same coaching tree as he does, they do that. But I also think it's personnel driven here. They don't have the personnel to do some of the things that have been giving the Kansas City Chiefs problems. And so after this game, we should see Travis Kelce again saying, "I guess I got my swagger back," and shaking and shimmying off. Because that's what they need to do. This team need
reach Saval out again, right? They need to feel that again, because as much as Kansas City Chiefs fans want to point to the passing yards or point to the passing touchdowns, this offense is not playing efficiently, and they're being carried by this defense.
Oh, I just hope that we all have an excuse to shimmy on Monday. Marcus, the Kansas City defense has picked it up in the last few weeks. How do they keep it going in this matchup?
Light shimmy.
Spags is in his bag. Listen, y'all, this defense has totally flipped the script. We were blaming them earlier in the season. The offense was turning the ball over. But let me show y'all something that made me smile, made my heart happy. This is a double A gap with the D tackles. We always talk about this with the linebackers. Willie Gay on the outside. Look how this occupies this guard with Chris Jones and Melvin Ingram, who we have highlighted, is scot-free, because there is a pressure coming off the edge with the inside nickel corner. And Teddy Bridgewater is like, what the hell is this look? I don't know what to do. And before he can throw it, he's sacked. This was a zero pressure. Y'all, listen, I was studying this tape, and I wanted to give you the sideline view because of how beautiful it was. There is nowhere to go with this football. Unless this slot receiver where Snead comes from turns around immediately and is ready for the ball, they can't. This is just magnificent. We talked about this with the Dallas Cowboys. Spags run blitzed them and took away that and made them one-dimensional. But a double A-gap pressure with the D-tackles, y'all, I could cry. I just want to cry. I just want to be so
happy
about it.
You just have to use a D-lineman to do fun stuff.
We always get the linebackers shimmying up in there, and they want to hold and occupy, and everybody know they dropping out. Well, when Chris Jones and Nandy was lined up in the interior, they knew what the hell was about to happen, and they couldn't do nothing about it. Stay in your bag, Spags.
The defense looks good. You know, I'm just a little peel back of the curtain. Marcus sent a video so incredibly excited about this particular play and plays that he sent it to our producer, Mark Eisman. And by the way, that video lives on Mark Eisman's phone, and so we may have to release it to the public. Just watch
out
for
that.
New on NFL Live from ESPN Raiders reporter Paul Gutierrez. Raiders tight end Darren Waller is out against Kansas City. Also, linebacker Denzel Perryman could be a game-time decision. Probably speaks even more into the conversation we were just having. Let's get the latest on injury news around the league. Some huge names are in question. Field Yates, what do we need to know right now, starting with Alvin Kamara?
Yeah, some great news to start off this injury rip here right now, Laura, as Alvin Kamara's missed multiple games because of a knee injury, is back. He's off the injury report. He will play on Sunday against the New York Jets. That's good news for the Saints because he's their best offensive player. It's also good news because Mark Ingram and Ty Montgomery are both on the reserve COVID-19 list and thus unlikely to play on Sunday. Wouldn't surprise me if Alvin Kamara has his busiest day of the season. Moving to Cincinnati, where the Bengals may not have seen a ton of Joe Burrow this week throwing it, but he is questionable. He's going to play on Sunday. Remember, he had that inflamed pinky after a hit he took last week. He's good to go. He's going to play on Sunday. Meanwhile, Joe Mixon did not practice hardly at all this week because he's been sick with a non-COVID illness. He, too, is expected to play on Sunday. He scored in 9 straight games. That seems pretty good to me. Deebo Samuel was iffy, listed officially as questionable. We know he missed last week's game because of a groin injury. However, there's some building optimism he will play on Sunday for San Francisco. Not a certainty, but they do play, of course, in Cincinnati. They saw last week what their offense looked like without him. It was plenty of George Kittle. No Elijah Mitchell expected in this game, but perhaps Deebo Samuel is back. And then some unconventional injury news here in NFL Live. Bruce Arians had an inflamed Achilles earlier on this week. He's been scooting around. Well, here's the good news. He's going to coach on Sunday. The bad news is he's not going to be very happy. To borrow a quote from Adam Schefter's Twitter account in terms of his availability for Sunday, oh yeah, I'll be there. Pissed off, but I'll be there. That's the opposite of how we ever are when we are actually on NFL Live, Laura. We are always happy to be here because of having the company like yourself and the always very spirited Marcus Spears.
You know, I will say this. I don't know how happy I'd be to be here, though, if I was scooting around. So we hope that Coach Arians gets well soon. Glad you're with us here on NFL Live, and it's a huge Week 14. One of the biggest games, the Bills and the Bucks, and sometimes the best recipe for a loss, a quick turnaround. The Buffalo Bills turned right into a test against Tom Brady and the Bucks after losing to the Pats on Monday Night Football. Here's Josh Allen about the enormous matchup.
We're extremely hungry. I think there obviously is a sense of urgency of what we need to do. And again, there's no panic in our locker room. We're extremely united right now with what we need to do. We've had a couple really good days of practice and walkthroughs, and you know, we're looking forward to going out there and getting a chance to play against the defending world champs, and arguably one of the greatest quarterback, like I said, the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. So, you know, we're a hungry team, and we want to go out there and prove what type of team we are, not to you guys or to everybody else, but to ourselves, because we know the type of guys that we have in this locker room and the team that we can be.
Catch that, him talking about Brady. He said arguably the greatest. Oh, wait, no, the greatest. The Bills come into this game leading the league in defensive efficiency, ranking fifth in pass rush win rate. But all that great, but about that great quarterback that Alan spoke about, Tom Brady, leads all quarterbacks this season in touchdown passes, QBR, yards per drop back on plays where the opposing defense has earned a pass rush win. That's crazy. For context, the league's average QBR in these situations is 43 compared to Brady's 86. What can Buffalo even do to combat this? Let's try to answer that question. How can the Bills defense disrupt Tom Brady, Marcus? Because when defenses are disrupting him, as we just showed you, it doesn't matter. Somehow he's better in the face of that.
Y'all, there is a scene in this movie called Coming to America. Not sure if everybody has seen it, but this is like the barbershop
scene. Marcus.
Tom Brady is 175 years old. He 175 years old, and he leading the league in categories that's relegated to young quarterbacks. Okay, here's the bottom line. This is what you got to do, Buffalo. Listen to the damn game plan. Listen to the show. Watch us. You got to get your hands up if you're the defensive line. I know you're thinking about sacks because sacks get you paid, but Tom Brady ain't going to stand back there and let you hit him across the head. Every once in a while, you might get him, but you better get your hands up and get some of these batted balls and create some hard lanes, eye discipline-wise, for Tom Brady to throw through. And second of all, you have to take away these easy access throws. Okay, the Leonard Fournette quick throws, the Rob Gronkowski while he improvises and gets in the middle of the field, the connection that these guys have on these checkdowns. RC, been in a meeting where you got to defend Tom Brady. I've been in meetings where you got to defend Tom Brady. Hands up, take away easy access, make him hitch, and you may be able to get home.
Hands up. Mina, the Bills defense lost to Davis White in week 12. How do we expect the secondary to respond this week versus all those Bucs receivers, and now they don't have Tre'Davious White?
Well, first, I love Marcus's game plan. Take away the easy throws, but also the deep throws. Also stop the run. Also keep your hands up.
It's all
Tom, baby.
You got to do something, Kate.
Your question is really... I know. And your point about getting your hands up is definitely spot on. It's a challenge for Buffalo. And I say, like, the Bills defense is one of the better equipped units in the NFL to actually contain Tampa. They play a lot of those shell looks that have given Brady some trouble. They are able to get a pass rush without blitzing. They've been super successful at that all season long. However, we have not seen them play without Tre'Davious White. You can throw last week's game out the window. It really didn't mean anything in terms of pass defense. This is the game, I think, where we'll learn how the secondary plays. You know, the safeties are one of the better safety tandem duos in the NFL, and they do protect the corners to some degree. But, man, losing your number one cornerback and then facing the GOAT, it's not great timing.
Yeah, not a great recipe there for that. You know, here is the one thing, though. You just heard Josh Allen there, RC, talking about how hungry they are. How do you think this Bucs defense approaches the matchup against Josh Allen and the Bills offense?
You know what? They didn't do 9-on-7 one time in Tampa Bay this week. And what 9-on-7 is, it's an interior run drill, right? Where you want to have the physicality and you want to practice on run fits. You know why they didn't do it? Because the Buffalo Bills ain't going to run the dang ball. So this is going to be, if I'm Todd Bowles, I'm going to think about how do I want to attack this pass game? How do I want to attack my rush lanes? And what matchups do I like the best on the outside? They're getting healthier in the back end. Obviously, still no Mike Edwards because of the suspension. They're getting healthier outside at the corner. We all know that they can rush the passer. And they got two linebackers that are sinking and destroy missiles. If Josh Allen gets out of that pocket, he's going to have to watch his head, have his head on the swivel, maybe try to invoke the picket rule, because if he gets out of this pocket, it's going to be headhunting time. And so Josh Allen has to understand that some plays do die.
More on that rule in just a minute. Maybe. All right. Okay. Let's pick the game. Let's put our game picks up because I fear. Oh, wait. Well, first of all, what's going on here? Because honestly,
Laura's hair.
Well, my hair is cool, but your hat.
I love the jewelry.
RC looks like a wrestler.
RC's helmet. Wow, I want that wig for my life, just in general life. All right, everybody's picking the Bucks, by the way. Just throwing that out there. I'm not sure if you'll see it on the screen, but I've got Bucks 35-31. Marcus has Bucks 34-31. Mina, Bucks 30-27. And RC, Bucks 30-24. Mina, real quick, why are you taking the Bucks?
High scoring.
Well, first, I'd like to say congratulations to the Buffalo Bills on your impending victory. Look, I love this Bucks offense. I love them because they're so versatile. Whatever look you throw at them, they have a changeup, whether it's the run, whether it's Rob Gronkowski, whether it's beating man coverage. I think they're just really difficult to stop. If the Bills had Tre'Davious White, I might give a different answer, but they don't.
Yeah, yes. All right. Yeah, as Mina said, the NFL live curse could really come into play here. Got time for one more thing before we go. Marcus Spears, I give you the floor. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I want to say congratulations to Grambling State University and Hugh Jackson, former head coach of the Cleveland Browns, spent a lot of time with Marvin Lewis in Cincinnati as well. He is the head coach of Grambling State University, a historically black college and university. That's a huge move. Prime is down at Jackson State. Great on you, Grambling State. And my boy Tre'Davious Scott is the one that signed off on this thing. Congrats.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week. Enjoy week 14.
We appreciate all of you.
Attention, closed captioning.